Joining me live over the phone for her monthly report from the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, that's Director Angie Bruce today. Good morning, Director. How are you in Cheyenne this morning?
Good morning, Duke. I am doing great. Thank you.
I appreciate your time, as always, and the monthly updates from the Game and Fish. And, well, there's a lot going on, as always, and a lot we can chat about. I think maybe we start with a topic we've had the last couple of months, and that's the state legislative session. The session has ended since we last spoken, and some bills that went through that were signed by the governor. Anything of note or interest that actually was passed and signed directed towards the Game and Fish or outdoor recreationists?
Yes, absolutely. We did end up with a pretty light year for the outcome. That doesn't mean it wasn't a busy year for us. But one of those that we'll continue to work on as we implement it is House Bill 5 that dealt with registering and regulating fishing outfitters and guides. And this is really one that's very important to talk about today, because a lot of folks out there think that we're jumping right to regulating these folks. And that's just really not the case. The bill guided us into some direction to move forward. And so we first are putting together an advisory committee, which is what the bill said to do. We closed applications a few weeks ago on those nominations. People were able to apply online. We had over 100 people interested to serve on that. So pretty incredible representation across the state. Now we're going through the process to select those. Our seven commissioners will each select an advisory committee from their representative area, and they'll finalize that at the April commission meeting. So where do we go from here after we get that advisory committee in place? Is we will have a series of public meetings, and just wanted to note that they're public, so then other people will have the opportunity to come and discuss things as well. And really what we'll be focused on is two things. We'll be talking a lot about what a registration process looks like. So there currently is none in the state. That's a little bit unusual. Other states, our neighbors and throughout the West, have gone to a process many years ago. And so this registration piece will be the first aspect of it. But then if there is a need for regulating the number of outfitters and guides on any stretch of river or water body in the state. And that's really the primary focus of this discussion of the advisory committee and then our commissioners is, should we regulate? Who should be regulated? How does that look like? Does the Game and Fish regulate, or is it some other board, like an outfitter board? And we'll be taking all that information back to the legislative committee, Travel, Rec, and Wildlife, in September to be providing them with all those details that the two groups, the commission and the advisory committee, came up with.
Okay, so timeline, I mean, we're at least 2026 before this thing is finalized, if not further, then it sounds like.
Absolutely, yes. So we've been fielding a lot of questions where people are thinking that it's happening tomorrow, and that's really not the case. We're talking about what it should look like, getting input, and so this is the opportunity to talk to your commissioner, our staff, or this advisory committee on what people think it should look like.
Director Angie Bruce of the Wyoming Game and Fish on the Weekday Wake Up this morning. Director, anything legislative-wise you'd like to touch on? Any other bills of interest?
That pretty much has our attention these days. However, beginning at the end of April, we start the next year round already. So the interim session will start with primarily our first meeting with Travel, Rec, and Wildlife up at Dubois, April 30th, I believe it is. And so the process continues. They'll start to talk about subjects and possible bills for the next legislative session.
Well, Director, speaking of public meetings, there's been a lot of those regarding mule deer and management and herds, and there were some of those last year as well in 2024. A lot of public meetings held across the entire state regarding mule deer management. It sounds like the Game and Fish has kind of compiled all that feedback together now, and that's available.
Absolutely. So the responses from those mule deer meetings that we started late last summer, early fall, has definitely been compiled in a report. Justin Benefit, our Deputy Chief of Wildlife, gave an outstanding report out at our commission meeting that's available online to watch that. Really talked about the nuances regarding our public and what they commented on throughout the state. So it's quite interesting to me. So you had areas of the state where maybe there was a lot of focus on one topic versus another. For instance, folks talk a lot more about predators and the influence of predators on mule deer in the eastern part of the state. But then you heard more about wildlife crossings and the benefits of them in, say, the central or the lander area. And then more about the influences of renewable energy, such as solar and wind, in several parts of the state, but especially in the southwest corner. So a lot of common themes, but then some very specific nuances depending on where you were located in the state.
What is the Game and Fish going to do with this content now and all this feedback that you've taken?
Well, first of all, it does a lot of it when it deals with actual licensing issues. Those comments will be wrapped into our season setting comments that were taken right now. And so they'll be part of our normal process. But then what do we do with all the other information is a good question. We view this as forming a mule deer strategy for the state of Wyoming going forward. This is the basis of it. We'll be collecting other data. We have a hunter satisfaction survey that we completed last year that we'll be using as well. And hopefully we'll be talking about this at the interim session with the legislators, because a lot of these issues are outside the department's control. Some of them, you know, we would like to control, like disease and weather, but we can't. Others of them we have influence over, such as hunting season, predators, elk competition. But there's other influences, such as impacts to habitat, where the department does not have a permitting control over. And it's really a broader conversation for what the people of Wyoming want to see with mule deer going forward. So where we put our money, resources, and capacity in the future will be wrapped up into a statewide mule deer strategic plan as we develop that over, you know, the remainder of 2025.
Wyoming Game and Fish Director Angie Bruce on the weekday wake up this morning. A director switching from mule deer to elk. The elk feed grounds have been a big topic of conversation for a lot of years in Wyoming, and quite a few of those in Western Wyoming in our listening audience. There's been an idea floated to have the Game and Fish basically subcontract with local ranchers to take over the feed grounds and begin feeding the elk instead of it being done by the Game and Fish. Tell us where this idea came from and maybe your thoughts on it.
Definitely there's lots of ideas that have been floated out there. You know, when we went through this elk feed ground plan that took us well over a year to do, we had all sorts of ideas, and that was one of many. So definitely it's always part of the creative thinking of how we move forward. And right now, the department is focused on three action plans. So if you remember, that overarching plan is very large in concept. And with 22 different feed grounds, it was hard to get down into the details with that large plan. So these action plans will be focused on each individual feed ground and what occurs in that area, and then incorporating what the public wants to see. So a lot of this is wrapped around elk objectives. So how many elk do people want to see in that area? And then what does feeding look like with that goal in mind? And so as we get further down, these action plans will have a very high public engagement process in them. We're going to want feedback on what people think of some of those creative ideas, like you mentioned, and then incorporate any of those and others into the action plans moving forward.
Well, Director, just one final question for you. Your predecessor, Brian Nesvik, hasn't been officially confirmed yet that I'm aware of, but it looks like he may be leading the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which would be a big deal for someone from Wyoming to lead that huge federal department. What, assuming that happens, what does that mean for the relationship between the Game and Fish and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and what would that mean for Wyoming?
Well, Duke, you couldn't have said it better. It's an exciting opportunity to have Brian Nesvik in that position. I have no worries whatsoever, no doubt that he will get appointed to that position. And what it means for Wyoming and the other Western states and states across the nation is we will have a leader in the federal organization that really understands understands the value of state input into their processes and how their actions influence the state. And, you know, overall, the federal agency, Fish and Wildlife Service, and the state have the same goal, to maintain healthy wildlife populations. And he will have the ability to understand that and take the state perspective and involvement, incorporate it in a way that we get a lot of good work done for both the states and the Fish and Wildlife Service. There's lots of things right now throughout the organization that could be streamlined or improved with that state perspective. One of those items might be Pittman-Robinson Dingell-Johnson funding source. So this is a funding source that we all pay when we pay a tax on when we buy a gun, ammunition, fishing lures. That fund goes into a pot with the Fish and Wildlife Service and then gets allocated back to the states to be used in wildlife management. That's quite the administrative process. We would like to see those processes get streamlined. And that's just one example where I have no doubt that retired Game and Fish Director Brian Nesbitt and his new role with Fish and Wildlife Service will be able to do for us.
One thing you mentioned, healthy wildlife populations, is one that sticks out to me. You and I have talked about grizzly bears and wolves. I talked about grizzly bears and wolves quite a bit with Brian when he was at the Game and Fish. Do you think that moves that process along when it comes to the Endangered Species Act?
It does. The Endangered Species Act, you know, has a lot of processes and regulations within implementation of it. Obviously, the Fish and Wildlife Service plays that implementation role. They do not set the Endangered Species Act. That would be our federal legislators. So there's always this dual role of where you can make changes. We're looking at things from all angles. Both that legislative role on where we can influence the Endangered Species Act to reform it and with grizzly bears, and then the administration role of the Fish and Wildlife Service. And so I think there's a unique opportunity here to really look at the nuances and how we improve things. For instance, one of the tools of the Endangered Species Act is to be able to develop conservation plans with private landowners that are committed to the species identified, but also wanting to guard against incidental take, so accidentally harming one of these species. Those plans right now with the Fish and Wildlife Service take approximately 4 years to get done. Through having Brian's leadership and others in place, I think we're able to look at things where how can we get those plans done on the ground in a year or less? And let's improve the processes so it benefits the species and the landowners at the same time.
Well, Director, thank you for your time. I know I've already kept you longer than I normally do, so I appreciate that and sticking with us. Anything else you'd like to mention while we have you on the air?
Nope. I'll just tell everybody, you know, that the weather's changing. It's a great time to get outside, out of the office, and enjoy our fish and wildlife.
Absolutely. Shed season is upon us, right? Shed antler season is right here. So here we go.
Yep. There's a lot of things, and I saw a lot of anglers out as well. So it is that time of year.
Perfect. That's Director Angie Bruce, Wyoming Game and Fish, on the SVI Radio Network on Swift 98 and The Spur.